Today, meditation is the last one in the sequence. We have about three, four meditations on the same topic. So, basically this, what we are teaching here is the four foundations of mindfulness. So, this one is the last one. It's about the Four Noble Truths, understanding about the Four Noble Truths. So the first noble truth is that the Four Noble Truths is this noble. First is the noble truth of suffering, and then this cause of suffering, cessation of suffering, and the path leading to the cessation of suffering. So the first noble truth is this: birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, death is suffering. And then sorrow, lamentation, pain, displeasure, and sadness, distress are suffering. Union with what is displeasing is suffering. Separation from pleasant things is suffering. Not to receive what one desires is suffering. In short, clinging to five aggregates are suffering. So the birth, first the birth is suffering. So Buddha explained that birth as being born into various realms, like the hell, animal realm, plane of departed, and the human realm, and divine realms and Brahma realms. That's the only one part that Buddha explained in birth. And also, the appearance of these five aggregates and acquisition of six sense bases are suffering. So, in the meditation, you would analyze and see why this birth is suffering, rather than straight away accepting it. From your own mind, with your own wisdom, you instigate thoroughly and try to see why birth is suffering. This is really vast. The birth is suffering is a really vast. I have been meditating on the same thing for last 11 or 12 years. Still, it is not finished. It is that big, the birth is suffering part itself. So, when you look at birth, you would see that you've been born into hell. Hell does exist. It's not on earth. It is sort of, if you go through this north axis, and if you sort of, in the north axis there is this divine realms and the Brahma realms. And if you sort of slant about 45 degrees from that axis, you would see the hell. So physically existing. Those beings who are born there are subject to immense suffering. I can sort of see hell, and I can recall my birth in hell as well. I have been born there about 30, 40 births ago, and they subject you to various punishments. While living, they take out your flesh in your hand. So you become sort of faint that you can't stand that sort of suffering. It's a very strong acute pain that you get over there. And they sort of drop people from about three-story building, and they are trying to stay on those sort of red hot iron plates on 2 feet, on one on each other. But so there's a machine that actually separate from that, and then you drop, and then the middle chamber, immediate chamber, has got this fire, blowing fire. Then you come from that chamber to the next one when the door open, and so there's this air blowing, so the whole body is completely burnt, and so the skeleton is sort of remain bones. And then the next chamber, when you open, it's just a sort of a complete acid type pond that you fell into. So it's only the bones reaching at that level. So if there was anything by any chance, it's completely, you know, subject to that, like a sulfuric acid type thing. So this is one thing that I have seen and observed. I have seen many suffering over there. Buddha has explained many of those suffering in Bala Pandita Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya. You can read that one. Buddha also saying that there are these many kinds of suffering that in hell. Buddha can explain in various ways, but he cannot still finish it. It is that big. I have seen that people, there's another hell. There are 126 hells over there. There's one completely, people are, it's a complete heated sort of, it's like this earth burning. No trees or anything, it's the earth burning type thing. And people have been born over there. As soon as they burn, they shrink, you know, that like a wood piece that you put into the very hot place, that it just shrink like that. Your body is just twisted and you die instantly. And you've been born again in the same place and again subject to the same thing. So these are very vast karma, like killing father, mother, and that sort of thing lead to that sort of place. Nobody is actually putting you over there, it's just you be born because of the karma. So birth is birth in hell is that bad, and if you sort of see such suffering, you wouldn't want anyone, that even your enemy, to come into that place. It is that sort of compassion that you have. And even if you can't think about hell, you can think about the animal realm, where you can see that animals are suffering. You would normally think that, you know, they are suffering from this weather, bad weather and so on. It is nothing, the suffering they have. That suffering is that if you can recall any fear that you have because that robbers can come and sort of steal your things, or some sort of a instance where you are you felt fear because of somebody is going to take your goods or your life, something like that, then you look at the animal, they are living in, they are subject to that suffering because others are coming and taking their body, not the goods that one would have collected. Animals, they are the other animal, sort of a tiger or something, come and eat their body, the whole body, so the body is gone. So you wouldn't understand this unless you put on a sort of a shoe on its own, you know, like if you can recall the fear that you had when the robbers or somebody is coming, and on, in that shoe if you look at this one, then only you can see it. Otherwise you won't actually see. You just see that the animal is subject to that one. I am not. That's what you are thinking. But if you really focus and see that how I was afraid of robbers or whoever it is, and this animal is completely afraid of their body being taken. And then there is this plane of departed, the Preta Loka, and they have a very vast body. I have seen Preta size of a tree, really big, and the belly is about you know, it's vast, about 1 meter. At the top, it is very thin. They walk very slowly, some walk very slowly, because of the size. They don't get much to eat. They live on from the merits that we give to them. So there is this suffering over there. And then you think about the human world, that you yourself, am I suffering or not? So if you recall, starting from the birth, you know, you were born and with live with this excrement and urine, and father or mother would clean you, and then sickness, hunger, and then you study for a long time, struggling to live, learn and so on. And having done, then you go to work, and then you can see suffering over there in the office. And then you have the old age. So if you think back and see, was I actually happy? Or am I suffering in this world? you would see the suffering. We have immense suffering that normal beings would not actually see because of the lust, the sensual desire. When you have suffering, you would try to overcome it by having sensual desires. Some people do switch on the radio, the TV or something, music or something to get rid of it. But they go more and more deeper into suffering itself by doing that. So there is no ending from sensual desires. Not having sensual desire itself is suffering for someone who used to have those sensual desires. So you can see there's various kind of suffering over here with the birth. And divine worlds are also subject to suffering. That you might have heard that there was a war in that world. So the Brahma world also there is suffering. You can't sort of see this one at first. So in the meditation you focus on the ones that you can actually pursue and see, like the human realm and the animal realm, and then you can recall the description that hell has got, that you know, that various kind of suffering over there. Mostly focus on your own life and see that is it pleasant over here or is it suffering. You need to see it, focus onto it and see, observe it thoroughly. And then Buddha said the appearance of aggregates. With the birth is, there are five aggregates, that matter, feeling, perception, volitional formations and consciousness. Those five aggregates come to arise and they are suffering because the form, for example, changes, alters. You had a beautiful body, for example, when you are young, now subject to aging, body get wrinkled, you can't see from your eye, all those things are coming into play. So you would see that that is itself suffering. And then the appearance of this eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. So one would see why I have an eye. Why is it suffering to have an eye? Isn't it suffering not to have an eye, like a blind person? So you would see that why I am suffering is the blind person is suffering. So you would agree that the blind person is suffering. So the problem here is that you can become blind in your later life, or it could happen today while you are going home on the road, accidents and so on. So if you see that blind man is suffering and you need to put his shoes and see, imagine yourself, you are meditating and then you are blind, and then how can I go home? How can I cross the road? How can I go to the toilet? All those things. Think thoroughly on that one. And then you see, yes, the blind man is suffering. Appearance of eye is suffering because it is subject to change and impermanent. So similarly here, that if you are in a crowd, that if you can't hear, then you can see how much suffering you have because of that. While we have these things, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, we don't think about the situation where we do not have it. You always think, oh, we have it. I have it today, I will have it tomorrow. I will have it, you know, close to death as well. That's how we think. So our perception is wrong and it is changing and have this suffering. So you need to contemplate. The meditation is completely about thinking. The Buddha's meditations, the Vipassana, insight meditations are completely thinking. You hear Dhamma and then you think it over again and again in the meditation. And the Buddha said that the mindfulness come to arise because of that one. So the birth, we just explained the birth is suffering. But this one, sometimes you can't finish even within 40 minutes of the meditation. It's that long. It is very, very long. If you go from hell to those divine realms, then you can see each place, if you visit and see, you can see how much suffering over there. And recollecting how much suffering you had in so far and you have now is also really big. It's that much. And then the aging is suffering, and everybody would agree that aging, that wrinkling of the body, and teeth broken, that one is suffering. How you would live if you can't sort of bite anything from your teeth, and you have to use your gum. So that is the aging part. And this Dhamma, although explained in short, is very deep. There are various ways to explain that, how it is come to arise, this aging. And then the sickness. Think about the various kind of sickness that we are subject to, this cancer, heart and all those things. If you do not have it now, you think, having seen someone got cancer, then you think that I will also get it, because I am also of the, my body is of the same nature, same material things. So the element of extension, element of heat, element of cohesion, element of motion, those are the four elements that we are made of. So it's common to everybody. So if the other person got it, I can get it. If I don't have it now, I can get it tomorrow. Or I can get it in the next birth and so on. So you think about that suffering. And then the death. This is again a big topic over there. In the, by the time of death, that these aggregates that arose with the birth is broken down into pieces. So you don't have the body anymore. So then Buddha asks us over here to contemplate that, having seen a person who is dead for 1, 2, 3 days, you know, fester in nature and the blue color, having seen such a body, you think that my body is of the same nature. I haven't escaped this. I am subject to the same thing. And again, there are these 9 meditations on that one. So the body, a skeleton and with the flesh and blood, and a skeleton without flesh, and a skeleton without flesh or blood, a skeleton, a body that is, has been eaten by vultures and so on. So each time we would contemplate that my body is of the same nature. So there, over here, you have to work hard and try to convince yourself that you are also dying and you are going to die, having seen. Otherwise, you see that person is going to die, but I am not going to die. That's the biggest thing. Is your mind is normally constructing it the other way around all the time. If you try to think, you are not dead, you are not dying. He is dead, you are not. It is coming up. So you need to fight this one. So if you are successful in doing that one, I mean, you can get examples. You might have your father, mother, all pass away. If they have subject to that one, then I am also going to die. It can happen any time. Buddha asks us to contemplate that when you breathe in, think that you are not going to live to breathe out. If you breathe out, you are not going to live to breathe in. That's how Buddha asks us to contemplate about the breathing, about the death. Now, if you accept at that time that you are going to die, you can die, and you have seen some sort of a dead body, put your body next to it. You know, nobody is taking that body, is leaving it over there, and you are sort of observing it. And you can see that if it is there for 7 days or so, so the worms coming out of your eye, whatever the holes that you have, we have 9 places, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and you know, the places below. So those places you can see these worms coming out, and excrement and all those things coming out from the body. Imagine that scenario. If you are sort of successful in doing that, then your mind becomes vast. It becomes so vast, you sort of feel like you are not here, your skull is sort of open scenario. So you need to sort of practice for a little while. And so if you do that one thoroughly, over there, then you can actually contemplate about the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena of this thing which we are going to discuss later. Otherwise, you need to continue. You need to see that there is this suffering. That first Buddha said that there is this sorrow, lamentation, and then the physical pain, and the mental displeasure, sadness, distress. They are suffering. So when we have something, let's say I buy stocks, then stocks go down, and then there is this sadness and then displeasure. When you lose your job, there is this sadness, displeasure. So think about examples, your own examples and others' examples. So try to generalize here. Without examples, it won't work. Examples won't itself do any the complete understanding. That will help you to understand this thing. And then the separation from loved ones is suffering. If you are separating from your father, mother, or beloved ones, it's suffering. It can be a person or it can be a sort of a thing. And union with displeasing things is suffering. So when you actually got separated from the pleasant ones, pleasant things, what are you left with? You are left with displeasing things. So it is suffering. And not to receive what one desire is suffering is that the people who are subject to birth think, oh, it would be good if I'm not subject to birth. If people subject to aging think, it would be good that I wish that I'm not subject to aging. But by wishing you can't achieve that. So all the Dhamma that we discussed so far, the reverse of that one is the one is wishing. And then the last one is clinging to five aggregates is suffering. So there is this matter, feeling, volition, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. Clinging to these things are suffering. So if I cling to material things, whatever the material things, the cars, your house, and your relatives, and money, food, all those things, they are material things, they are suffering. And feeling is three kind, pleasurable feeling, displeasure feeling, neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling. So pleasure change to displeasure, then it is suffering. Displeasure change to pleasure, but pleasure does not last, again it is suffering. And then this, there are perceptions. This is the place we get it wrong, very wrong. This perception is, so we identify things like green, red, yellow. Most importantly, from perception we perceive that the pleasurable feeling as pleasure. We perceive this pleasure as displeasure from the perception. It's all constructed. It's not real. It's constructed. So this perception is wrong most of the time. For example, if you take hair in your body, in your head, or a beautiful hair in somebody else's body. Having seen that one, you see, that's nice. It comes to your mind that this is a beautiful person or beautiful thing. But imagine that the same hair is on your plate that you are eating. So you get a disgusting feeling is just, yeah, this hair. So if the former perception about the hair on that person's body is nice and so on, is correct, then we wouldn't be saying, see, yuck, that hair on my plate. If the perception on the plate is right, that it is disgusting, then the other perception cannot be right, because they are opposite to each other. So you can see, we get this wrong perception. We perceive disgusting things, like foul nature, if we perceive it as fair. So that is called vipallasa in Pali. It's like the opposite you are perceiving. It is completely, the body is of the foul nature. But when we perceive that somebody's body, we actually think it's fair. What is inside the body is this very excrement, urine and all those things. Similarly, we perceive what is there in the feeling is actually the displeasure and the suffering nature, but we perceive it as pleasure. So that's again a wrong perception. And we perceive things as self. We perceive things as permanent while it is impermanent. So that's where we get wrong. So then the volitional formation, that volition is the one that constructs all the other things, matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, they is all constructed by that one. But think about the volition as something that you are associated with this thing, like food, for example, having eaten that food one day, and it's tasty and you see that. And then there is this volition that is constructing that this is the food you ate that day, and this is the feeling, this is the perception, this is nice. You haven't eaten this thing, you have eaten something similar before. So it's all constructed by the mind. This is very important to understand, it's always volitional formation construct. It constructs the form as form, the feeling as feeling, the perception as perception, volition as volition, consciousness as consciousness. It's all constructed. Having perceived something before, it is reconstructing this one. So we go with that construction. And last one is the consciousness. That's eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, and body consciousness, and mind consciousness. So regarding these five, one would need to contemplate very heavily with an expanded mind the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. So arising phenomena is how this form come to arise. And Buddha said, if one seek delight in form, welcomes it, remain whole into it. By doing that one, delight in form arises. For example, if you want to seek delight in form, you go and switch on the TV. And you change the channel until you get the TV picture. You seek delight in, you go and switching on and changing that one. And then pictures are going on, and you are happy, you sit down and watch it, and you welcome those pictures. And you call the other people also, come and see, this is a nice picture, welcoming it. And remain whole into it means that the next week, same time, same, you go and change and look at the same channel. And think whether you are doing it. If you are not doing that one, then you have to pick up some other examples similar to that, where you do this sort of thing. And see whether you actually get the pleasure out of it. So if you agree that there is this pleasure out of it, then this pleasure over there, or about the form, is the clinging. You cling to that. Because of clinging, there is existence. What exists is the craving. It's like that, I like that one, and then you collected something, right? So let's say you have a box sort of thing, and you collect a dollar, or you put a dollar to that one, while that one is special. So you eat something, is happy, put another dollar, something like that. You're collecting all of those things. So this thing exists within you. And by the time of death, that what did you collect these coins for? Some sort of a purpose, right? So you want to use it. So that's why you will be born in such and such a plane. If I am eating this food and I'm happy with that food, I got something in this collection over here, so I want to have such a body. For example, we came over here because we are, have this clinging to food, this sort of food. The Brahma, the divine worlds, they think these are disgusting things. So they went to some other plane because they did not collect anything about these things by the time they were doing. Either they did not collect or they managed to escape out of it. And so because of this existence, there is birth. So the sequence goes, one seek delight in form, welcomes it, remain whole into it. By doing it, delight in form arises. The delight in form is clinging as condition, the existence. That is the existence of very same craving. As existence as condition, there is birth. And with the birth, you get whole mass of suffering. Aging, sickness, death, all those things. So you are thinking and analyzing from your own wisdom, is it so? Am I going through this sequence? Am I doing it? And because of that, am I, getting born? And this is, you need to do about 6 months in this meditation at least to get any value. And then you look at the passing away phenomena. That is, One does not seek delight in form, does not welcome, does not remain whole into it. That means you are not going to switch on the TV, you are not going to welcome it, you are not going to remain whole into that one. So by doing that one, the delight in form ceases. About the TV, for example. With the cessation of that delight, comes the cessation of this clinging. With the cessation of clinging, comes the cessation of existence of the craving. With the cessation of existence of that craving, is the end of this whole mass of suffering. You won't be born. So that's the end of that one. So there is a bit of things over here for a beginner to see, would I want that or something? But if you see more and more on the suffering, then you would really want to achieve that one. So you need to contemplate about the arising and passing phenomena of the matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. The perception, volitional formation and consciousness, bit hard for a beginner, but matter, the material body, and the feelings, you can. So set focus on the material thing and the material body, your body, somebody else's body. Is it how these things come to arise? So first you need to see the birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, that path very heavily. Contemplate on that one very heavily. And then when your mind becomes vast, you focus on the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. So that's the first meditation, and then we expand that meditation later on to the other noble truths. So this is the first noble truth together with the arising and passing away phenomena. So that's how we do the meditation. So shall we do this meditation for 25 minutes?